This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. This week on the Compass, we take you on a tour of a local research farm dedicated to bringing better organic produce to your table. So now, let's go inside the Compass. Attracted by the prospect of sampling some free locally grown food and a tour of their new research farm, I went down to the former dairy farm at Chimcombe Crossroads for an open house thrown by one of the farm's newest tenants, the Organic Seed Alliance, the locally headquartered nonprofit that for well over a decade has been helping farmers both near and far develop new sources and types of locally adapted organic seed. Partnering with Washington State University, the new OSA research facility is part of what has been dubbed the Chimcombe Farm Collaborative, on land acquired a couple of years ago by Finn River Farm with the help of the Jefferson Land Trust. I arrived a bit early to see workers setting out dishes on long tables beneath canopies. Asking who would be leading the tour, I was directed to a young woman in a bright blue jacket. This turned out to be Lori McKenzie, OSA's research and education specialist for the Northwest region, whom I asked about the mission of the OSA.
Farmer empowerment, I guess I would say. I think it's really exciting and inspiring and empowering to save seeds and also to engage in breeding and improvement and local adaptability. So when you save your own seeds, you are sort of tailoring whatever that crop is and the variety of that crop to work really well for you, because you're saving seeds from the plants that did the best, that yielded really well and were really healthy and robust. And so you're choosing to continue those genes and those genetics forward. And so whatever it is that makes those plants work really well on your farm is what you're sort of sculpting for your future. And we talk a lot about local resiliency and local food and having economic and food security. And so part of my job is to teach farmers how to grow and save seed, and how to produce healthy varieties, and then how to take it a step farther and how to kind of create their own a little bit if they want to tailor something for their farm and their operation, or if they want to create something totally new. I get to sort of help them and teach them the skills to do that.
So I gather then that you're sort of like out in the field working with farmers, like most of the time you're not sitting in the office at OSA.
Yes, that is very true. I have spent a lot more time in the office in the past, but now that we have this research farm, I'm out here all the time and have spent most of my time here on the farm at the Finn River Orchard. This is the Chimcombe Farm Collaborative.
Oh, I see. So rather than going to individual farms, or do you do that as well?
I do that as well.
I see. But you also have events, I guess like this one here, but other events where farmers are invited here to see what you're doing.
And so today is a great example of that. In the morning, we actually had farmers and some seed industry people, so representatives from commercial seed companies were here, and we walked around with them, and we talked about each of our trials, and we asked for their feedback on qualities that they like or they would like to see improved. We asked, you know, do you like a stem that's thick or thin for Swiss chard, and why? Why does that make a difference for you? How does it affect how you can bunch and sell a crop? So we bring them, farmers and industry professionals and the public, to this farm, our research home site here at the Chimcombe Farm Collaborative, to gather their input.
Now, this is relatively new, though.
This is our first year.
Yeah. So are you going to be continuing to do that out on other people's farms?
Yes, absolutely. And we have one of our projects in particular that's a national collaborative project. In the project itself are trials that are specifically meant to be on farm. And so we have, I think, about 10 farms around the peninsula that are collaborating and hosting those trials for us right now. And so we go occasionally out there and look at the trials and talk to them about how the trials are going. And we also ask for feedback as they're doing those trials, the farmers are taking notes on what they like or what they don't like, if they're seeing disease or having pest problems. And then this winter, we will gather them all together and we'll all kind of have a powwow and share our results and talk back and forth. So we are doing a little bit of all of those things. We're bringing farmers here and sharing information. We're going out to the farms and conducting trials and sharing information. And all of that in the spirit of advancing our local sustainability, our local food.
Give me some examples of the sorts of crops that you've worked on and what you consider to be your successes.
Yeah. So a great story that's a great local story is Abunda Bloomsdale spinach, which we just commercially released this year. You can buy it from High Mowing Seeds. You can buy it from Southern Exposure Seed Exchange. There's a few seed companies that have picked it up, and that has been bred with at least 10 farmers around the peninsula over the last 10 years. So it started out with farmers learning how to grow spinach seed and then growing out seed of the populations that were then used to breed this variety, and the farmers were involved in selecting the plants that they thought were the best and looked the best. And then the last several years, Midori Farm and Marco Colby have been very involved in doing more specific selection and really sort of honing and tailoring and really focusing in on which plants express the qualities we were really looking for.
What qualities were you really looking for?
Yes, we were looking for a savoyed spinach leaf, so one that's kind of crinkly rather than flat, and really nice dark green color, kind of thick leaf, so it's really juicy. It's very tall and erect, so it's very bunchable, as well as you can cut it as a loose leaf. Really good tasting to have that really deep, robust spinach flavor, and also to be cold hardy.
Uh-huh.
So Marco was very involved in choosing the plants that really expressed all of those qualities together. And now, this year, it's commercially available, which we're very excited about. And Marco Colby and Nash Huber have also been contracted by the seed company that's carrying it commercially to grow seed for their commercial sales. So they were involved in learning how to grow the seed, learning how to do plant breeding. And now, not only are they a part of a variety that's out there in the world, but it's now become a part of their income farm stream.
I guess we're going to probably be finding this out on the tour here, but what kinds of things does having this farm allow you to do that you couldn't do before?
Yeah. So one of the things it allows us to do is have this kind of event that we're having today, where we have everything that we're doing, all of our trialing work and all of our breeding work in one place, and we can show it off. Another thing it allows us to do is really monitor things every day. So if I have a breeding project and I want to be out in the field looking at it every day, I don't have to travel to Squim or Quilcene or drive around Port Townsend to get to our collaborating farm.
So it reduces your carbon footprint, too.
It does. It absolutely does.
All right, it looks like the tour is starting here.
Where's Michaela?
As we were speaking, about 50 men, women, and children had gathered, and at Mackenzie's signal, a slender, bespectacled woman with an energetic stride came to the fore and addressed the crowd.
This is the first ever Organic Seed Alliance WSU Finn River Farm Tour that we've hosted. This is our first year on the farm, and we're really thrilled with it. Organic Seed Alliance, I guess I should introduce myself. I'm Michaela Colley, the Executive Director of Organic Seed Alliance. So I just want to introduce Organic Seed Alliance for any of you that are less familiar with who we are and what we do. And then we're going to take you on a little walking tour around the farm and show you a few of the projects we have going on, and then come back and circle back around and spend a little time doing some variety tasting and getting to actually experience some of the crops with you. So Organic Seed Alliance is a nonprofit organization. We grew out of a nonprofit called Abundant Live Seed Foundation, which was operated in Port Townsend since 1976 or so. We actually have one of the ex-board members of Abundant Life with us this evening, which is wonderful. Organic Seed Alliance started in 2003, and our mission is the ethical development and stewardship of agricultural genetic resources. And so we teach farmers how to grow their own seed. We bring farmers and plant breeders and other stakeholders together to breed new crops for organic agriculture. And We also do a lot of variety trials, so helping farmers identify what commercially available varieties work well for their farm and which ones are available organically. Part of our mission is fostering the growth of organic seed industry so that the seed that we plant is organic in addition to the garden or farming system that we operate. But after 13 years of operation on lots and lots of different farms, we found our programs were building enough that we desired to have a research location where we can consolidate more of our work and bring people together, like you all, so you can see more of the work in the field. We can have classes here where farmers can look at a lot of different crops at once or learn seed production, looking at a lot of examples in the field. And there's some aspects of plant breeding that are well suited to doing on a farm because farmers have large-scale fields to do selection and evaluation, and farmers have very valuable opinions about the direction of plant breeding. But there are other aspects of seed production that are a little more tedious, and so having a centralized location allows us to kind of leverage our work and our resources to accomplish the most in our breeding program and pick and choose which portions of our work wind up on farms. We also have a strong partnership with Washington State University, both here in the county and throughout the state. And this is Laura Lewis. I just want to introduce her. She's a busy woman.
Thanks. So I'm Laura, as she mentioned, and I'm the director here in Jefferson County. I've been director for about 4 years now. And I actually have a background in working with seeds and clonal rootstock and cyanwood as well before I came out here. So one of the reasons I was so attracted to coming out here was because OSA was already here doing fabulous work. And WSU does quite a bit of research on the peninsula for various crops. And some of that research takes place here in collaboration with OSA as well as Finn River. And then we also have a 26-acre certified organic farm on Maristone Island, which was donated to WSU about 2.5 years ago. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes, but that farm is really part of OSA's program here as well. So mm-hmm. The island is isolated. The farm's located about 8 miles or so from here. And we have a lot of available acreage there for some of the breeding and selection work that takes place through OSA, as well as through the Sustainable Seed Systems Laboratory, which is part of WSU Pullman. Kevin Murphy, who some of you may be familiar with, runs that program, and some of the trials that he does throughout the state are conducted both at the WSU Twin Vista Ranch Farm as well as here. So OSA has worked collaboratively with many of the land-grant universities across the nation, and they have had a really strong partnership for many years with WSU, and Michaela and I are really excited to see it evolve and transform into some new opportunities.
Thanks. We've been really fortunate to have an extension agent in this county that is working on supporting the growth of small farms and diversification of our agriculture in the county. And then, as Laura mentioned, she also brings this genetic resource conservation background, which is very complementary to the work that OSA does to breed new crops for the future.
And for those of you who may not be familiar with this property in particular, this is a historic dairy farm property that has been, previous to what it is now, is in the Brown and Bishop family for nearly 100 years as a dairy farm. So this is a sort of momentous transition time, keeping it in a farmscape and a community-minded agricultural space, but transitioning to sort of this new life for it. It's owned currently by...
The land is protected by the land trust,
Yeah. And
it's being managed by Finn River, which is a for-profit cidery. And Finn River, when they moved to this piece of property, had a vision of it being a collaborative location. As you can see, it's obviously kind of at the heart of our agricultural valley and a key piece of property just in terms of the quality of the land that's here, but also just the location and opportunity of it. So there are several different entities that are leasing land on the property. And so Finn River operates their cidery here, their tasting room, and they have grand plans of it expanding in the near future. And in addition, they've started planting more of organic orchards on the property. And Organic Seed Alliance and WSU now are also leasing land and basing our research here. We also have the North Olympic Salmon Coalition has offices here and is doing some nursery work and revegetation stock development here. And we also have another seed-producing for-profit business, Essential Blooms, which is a new flower seed business, and their operations are going on here, too.
And all of this land is now currently certified organic, so.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to head around this way over towards the greenhouses, and I'll show you our sweet pepper trial, where the peppers you'll be tasting tonight came from.
We all trooped across a patch of fallow ground to a pair of plastic over-tubing greenhouses, where Lori McKenzie took up the reins.
So one of the things I've learned this year, someone said to me, building a greenhouse is simple but not easy. So these two greenhouses were just built this year. The little one is our propagation and has now turned into a seed drying greenhouse. So earlier in the year, about February, we start seeds in there. That's where we start our peppers and tomatoes and onions. All got started really early in the year. And then this is our big greenhouse that we use for things that need a little more heat than they can get out in the field. And the trial that's in here right now is the sweet pepper trial. And this is a part of our NOVIC project, which is N-O-V-I-C, stands for Northern Organic Vegetable Improvement Collaborative. It is a national collaborative project between OSA and researchers and grad students and farmers at Oregon State University, Cornell University, and University of Wisconsin-Madison. And we all conduct the same trials with the same varieties, and then we have a really big data set of information on all of these varieties and how they performed over all these different environments. So everyone else is doing their pepper trials outside, and I said, hey, here on the peninsula, we don't really get enough heat to grow really nice Solanaceae crops outside. So we put our trial in the greenhouse, and one of the things I learned this year is that peppers, plants grow really big and beautiful in a greenhouse, but then they get so tall that when they get lots of heavy fruit on them, they fall over. So next year, these will be staked. So one of the things that we've learned is this is looking at varieties that mature early enough to set a nice abundance of red fruit. If you've ever grown pepper plants, they do tend to mature over a wide range of time. And these are two examples of two different bell peppers that we're growing. This one is kind of enormous and it's quite heavy, whereas this one's kind of on the small side. And so we bring farmers in, and we also have farmers conducting the same trial on farm, and we say, and also we brought in people from the co-op, and we said, what do people at the co-op buy? What do you like? What do you see people, you know, taking off the shelves and taking home with them? And so we take that information, and that informs our trialing work and our breeding work. And with NOVIC, we have 5 crops associated with that project: sweet peppers, sweet corn, cabbage, squash,
tomatoes.
And each of those crops has a breeder associated with it. So each region is taking the lead on breeding of one of those crops. We here at OSA are the lead on cabbage. We'll walk by the cabbage trial. So I am conducting a cabbage breeding project in conjunction with NASH and the farmers at NASH's Organic Produce. We'll talk about that out in the field a bit more. The breeding work here is to come up with an early, vigorous, you know, well-yielding, good-tasting variety, which is, of course, what we all want as consumers and farmers. So tonight at the tasting, you will taste both bell types and roaster types. Roasting peppers tend to be a little bit sweeter, and their flesh is a little bit thinner. They're generally not as thick as a bell pepper. Do you have anything? Hey, not right now. This is Ella. This is Ella, my fur child, and our farm dog. Anything else you wanted to add to that?
No, I think we should go ahead and keep walking a little bit. Did you want to show them the participatory section, or is that gone? Did you pull those up?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess just to mention, this morning we had a field day that was just for farmers and seed companies, so they had a little more of the nitty-gritty discussion about varieties and breeding directions and so forth. And as Lori mentioned, each of the Novick crops has a head breeder. Well, the pepper breeder is Michael Mazurek at Cornell, and he had one breed that he's working with, one new variety that he's been breeding, that he enlisted all of the Novick partners to engage farmers to do selection, and this is actually part of the breeding process. So we laid out all the plants of this one type of pepper, and we gave the farmers a bunch of flags and asked them to walk through the piles of peppers and put a flag next to the one they like. So this is direct feedback from the farmer that is resulting in the selection of which of the pepper plants get to contribute their genes to the next generation.
From the greenhouses, we moved on to view several long rows of the biggest, most robust dark green and purplish cabbages I have ever seen.
Wow, these are beautiful.
Like, this is evolution right here.
They're gigantic. I mean, those are just amazing.
And cabbages, from everyone I've talked to in my experience, it's so, the size of the head is so strongly correlated to how close you plant them. So the farmers this morning were like, wow, you spaced these really far apart. I'm like, yeah, I wanted to see how big they'd get. So this is the Novick cabbage trial, and all of the varieties in here are being evaluated as storage cabbage. There's storage cabbage, there's kraut cabbage, there's early season cabbage. This is cabbage that's intended to be harvested and then either stored in a cooler or left out in the field for continual harvest into the winter months. So we have mentioned, and I will mention now, that there are a lot of different ways to do plant breeding. And a lot of our work is funded through grants and federal grants. The Novick Project is funded through OREI, which is Organic Research and Education Initiative. It's a big national granting program. And so that's what funds both the trialing and breeding work for all of the Novick crops. So with the cabbage, we're working with Nash. We have a long history of partnering with Nash and the farmers on his farm. And so this project gave us the opportunity and the funding to really dive into a breeding project. And I said, all right, what do you want to do? And they said, well, we really like this variety, Granite. It's got great head density. It's a real workhorse variety, but it doesn't taste very good. And we have this other variety called Red Drumhead, and it's a little more variable, and we haven't done as much with it, but it's got beautiful color, it tastes great, and it does really well in cold holding in the field. So great. We decided to cross those. We did a cross with them this year, and their little babies are out in the field right now growing up into big plants. And that, when you start a breeding project like that, one of the challenges with federally funded and grant-funded work is plant breeding can be a very long-term project. When you start from the very beginning of making a cross to a finished variety that you might sell to a seed company, and then you all would see it in a seed catalog, minimum 5 years, maybe up to 12. So that's really a long-term process, and finding funding for the whole lifetime of that can be a challenge. So one of the great things that Nash and his crew said to me was, we need to do a project that we will want to continue after the money ends. That's the real, like, salt of the earth breeding farmer partner that we get to work with here on the Olympic Peninsula. We have a lot of people who are really interested and inspired and engaged in doing this kind of work and excited about it. So we're really, really lucky and super grateful that we have partners like that to work with here. So that's the cabbage brief overview. And now I want to give you sort of a different picture of breeding. Behind the cabbage, you see some corn that is rather dry. It's over mature now. That's our sweet corn breeding project, and that is what we're calling the Port Townsend Sweet Corn Breeding Project. Sweet corn is challenging to grow here because it's not real hot, and it's especially not real hot at night. So the corn will grow during the day when it's nice and warm, and then it kind of huddles in at night and doesn't really grow. And it'll grow during the day versus in the Midwest where it's nice and humid, and you get that heat holds through the night, so the corn just keeps growing. So here, it's a little bit different, and the farmers here have been challenged to really get an abundant, reliable sweet corn. Many of them don't grow it. And the Port Townsend Co-op came to us and said, we really want to see so much sweet corn in our community that's locally grown that we can just carry a whole bunch of it in the co-op. Can we partner with you on doing some local breeding? So they invested some money that allowed us to do some trials. We are cooperating with our partners at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Bill Tracy is one of the only, if not the only, sweet corn, public sweet corn breeder in the nation. One of the few.
Most robust and one of the few.
Yes. And he provided us some material from his breeding stock. We looked at it out on Nash's last year. We chose some of the ones that we felt did the best and tasted the best. We tasted about 90 plus last year, 128 this year, different families, which is a breeding term. And we picked our favorites and said, great, let's look at this again next year. So that's kind of the process of plant breeding is you pick your favorites, you look at them, you let them all combine their genes, and you save the seed, you look at them the next year, you pick your favorites, and you keep moving forward with your favorites. And there are lots of different ways to do that. If you want to talk genetics, I love geeking out on genetics, we can do that over some cider. But that's a really exciting project. It's very much in the beginning, and we are sort of navigating our way of how to best make that a community-involved project, to have farmers collaborating with us and making selections right along with us and sharing in that process.
The field tour continued through a carrot patch where the researchers were experimenting with varieties ranging from bright yellow to deep purple, and then through the experimental chicory and Brussels sprouts plots where the plants were being bred for cold hardiness, before finally winding back to the cement former feedlot, where we were met by Jefferson Healthcare chef Aaron Stark, who happens also to be OSA director Michaela Colley's husband. Stark had orchestrated the layout of a very colorful presentation of produce from the farm for sampling.
It is my responsibility. The food is my responsibility.
Everything's
and it's a rather unusual buffet because it's outdoors and it's a tasting buffet. We're going to be grading some of the food, all of which was grown right here, including the quinoa, including the peppers, including all the wonderful things on this buffet. We have toothpicks available. There's a clean toothpick that you can grab once you eat. Then there's a blue cup for the dirty toothpicks. There are wooden spoons. Please use all the tongs available. There's little plates available and little bamboo bowls. No double dipping, no bare hands on food. I've got these ladies are my patrol. If they see you, they're going to get a ruler and smack your hand with it, okay? So just be about that. And it has nothing to do with the health inspector sitting over there. Has nothing to do with that whatsoever. So enjoy the food. We had a lot of fun preparing it. There's some great varieties. We've already had a sneak peek of some of the flavors that are out there. I'm really enamored with the quinoa. That's just me, though. All right.
Hold on, let me say one more thing. So you'll notice on the table there's also some pencils and pieces of paper. Those are tasting ballots. And that is your opportunity to vote and give your feedback on which varieties you like. And that information will be collected and then used in our research as well as shared with WSU. So.
This is Steve Evans reporting for KPTZ Community Radio News. This week's KPTZ Compass was written and produced by Steve Evans. The Compass airs Mondays and Saturdays at noon, Tuesdays at 5 p.m., and Wednesdays at 10 a.m., exclusively here on KPTZ, the home of eclectic, authentic community radio. Remember, if you have a news tip or story idea of any kind, send an email to news@kptz.org. That email again for news tips is news@kptz.org. For the news team here at KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, I'm Steve Evans.